This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guest on Off the Shelf is Joanne Wojtek. Joanne is the NASA SOUP Program Manager. Joanne, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Hey, well, first, I'm going to let you just, like, we'll get the fundamentals out of the way. What does NASA SOUP, what does SOUP stand for? You know, it's not Campbell's Soup, right?
It's not Campbell's Soup. It's SEWP, Solutions for Enterprise-Wide Procurement, Government-Wide Acquisition Contract, or GWAC. Vehicle.
Right. And, Joanne, we're going to talk about today, we'll talk about NASA SOUP, you know, the NASA SOUP 4, and then now the follow-on that you're working on right now. And just let our listeners know a little bit about the program, more about the program. But first, I just wanted to get a little bit of your background. I understand you have been involved in NASA SOUP from the very beginning. And, you know, as a former government employee, I always find it interesting to talk to folks about how they got, because nobody thinks about going into acquisition, you know, generally after they graduate from college or whatever. But how'd you get involved in procurement and how'd you end up working on NASA SOUP?
I'm actually come from the technical side, and I got involved with NASA SOUP because my boss said, I can't make this one meeting. It was like the second meeting for SOUP when SOUP was being discussed. Can you just go? You'll never have to go again. It's the one time you have to deal with it. I said, sure. So that was, 20-some years ago.
Wow.
So he was wrong. But I was the technical, became the co-technical lead for SOUP 1. And then as I saw my career and where SOUP was going, we didn't have a program manager for the first 7 years. We just kind of ran it as a committee. And I realized in around 1999 that the program had gotten to the point where a program manager would be good. And the idea of doing the business end more so than the procurement end, that really was interesting to me and see how that worked with technical background. And so I asked my boss, who was not my boss anymore, but I said, how about, you know, me becoming program manager? He said, oh, there's no future in that. So he was wrong twice.
Right.
I think I made a future in it since I've been doing it for 14 years now.
Wow. And you know what? I guess, you know, for our listeners out there, especially folks just starting out in government, hey, the important thing there is, like, you know, you never know what's going to happen. Go to that meeting, right?
Go to the meeting. Yeah. And sometimes you just have to take a chance and say, this is something that's interesting and go for it.
Right. Absolutely. So, and NASA SOUP is an ITG GWAC. Can you talk a little bit about, give folks the background of, you know, how that sort of works and what happens there?
So we're a government contract vehicle authorized by Office of Management Budget, OMB, to what's called an executive agent. We're one of the three agencies that have that designation, NIH and GSA being the other two. So we can set up IT contracts that then can be used by the entire government in the IT world. For SOUP, our focus is product and product-based services. So we're not into the labor support service arena as much as what can get a product in and running and working at in an area and keep it running.
Right. So, and how, you know, just, and how is NASA's, how is SOUP, the current contract, NASA SOUP 4, right?
Yes.
Right. How is that sort of structured? Is it, do you have a large business pool? How, you know, just a little bit about the number of contractors. Yeah. And
so there are 38 contracts under SOUP 4, of which they're into four different groups. The groups are not differentiated by scope. They're differentiated by business type. There's a group that is mostly manufacturers and is large businesses primarily, although there are small businesses there. And there's another large or open group, a full and open group that is mostly resellers. And then we have a SDVUSB set aside, and we have a small business set aside.
Okay. And it is how, I mean, what was the contract period for NASA SOUP 4?
The contract period was 7 years. It started in 2007, due to end May 1st or April 30th, 2014.
And annually, how much business does it do?
We're going somewhere between $2 and $2.5 billion a year.
Oh, wow. So it's like about 50, it'll be about over close to $15 billion over the life of the contract.
Yeah, we're just, I think we're hitting $12 billion this week.
Congratulations. That's very good. And one of the things I wanted to get those statistics out there, because one of the things that I hear from government customers and from contractors all the time is that your contract is very efficient. It moves very quickly. It's a streamlined process.
Right.
And I'd like you to talk a little bit about, you know that, how you've achieved that, and what are some of those key features of how the current NASA soup performs?
So we have a basic rule that everything goes in one business day. And although I'm actually taking the view that we have to slow down a little bit and make sure we don't let quality slip. But outside of that, the speed is very important to us. We want to make sure we are not holding things up in the acquisition world. This does not mean that you know everything happens in a day, but it means that if a customer contacts us, we'll be in touch with them within a day. If something needs to get added to the contract, we will look at it, review it, and if it can be added, it will be added within a day. When an order comes into our systems, it will be processed in a day. It's partly using technology. Using my technical background, I helped design a system that is semi-automated, and then a very professional and great staff who follows those rules and prides themselves in doing things in an efficient way and in a customer service oriented way.
And who are your biggest customers?
So our biggest customer, not surprisingly, with the biggest money is Defense Department. And then some of our other top customers are our VA, Justice, NASA, of course, Commerce. I'm a very big customer.
Right. And I think GSA uses it as
GSA
well.
GSA is one of the top 10 customers, yes.
Yeah, wow.
Using it to support other, typically through their acquisition services. Similarly, the Department of Interior through their acquisition services will use this a lot. Since we don't do the acquisition piece, we do the contract piece.
As I mentioned, what I've heard is that the streamlined process is very efficient and effective. You know, is that the kind of feedback you've gotten from your customers about what they like about the contract?
Yes, I think speed, but also that they know that we are there. That when they call, when they need an issue resolved, they can come to us. And in fact, that's one of the main things we push with them. And we had an email today or yesterday about, what happens if, and the answer is, well, just immediately let us know and we'll step in. We have a staff there to help. That's what we're there for. We're primarily there to help our customers, do things without having to spend their time doing it. So if they have an issue, they don't have to spend time calling up vendors and finding the issues. We can help resolve that. And that plays even a bigger role than how fast we go with an order.
Right, so that customer service aspect of it is critical to success. And another aspect of it that's, to me, is, having worked on some of these IT GWACs in the past, my past life, is there's a lot of interaction or reporting or feedback to OMB about how the program is performing, and it's all, it's a good government thing. Can you talk a little bit about what those responsibilities are? I mean, it's not here, go do this contract, and they... you have responsibilities, obviously, to the taxpayer and to have a good program, but you have to give a lot of feedback and coordination with OMB as well. Is that correct?
We both have to, and then there are times when we want to. So have to is we have to give them an annual report, and then when we come up with the new contract, we just actually, the business case for Soup 5 just got sent from NASA headquarters down to OMB this week. And so we have to do those things. And, the GWACs take pride, all of us, I think, in that we are part of an established process that we get authority for, that we have to report to, that we have an oversight for. So we're not just out there doing our thing. We actually take a little pride in working with OMB, and that might not be a normal thing for people to say, but we want to make sure that we're doing the right thing for the taxpayers, and I think I speak for all the GWACs in that regard.
Right, and one of the things I think that's a great service that the GWACs provide, all three agencies, is addressing the issue of contract duplication, and that's similar contracts for contracts for the same products and or services across the government enterprise, a sort of horizontal duplication. The idea of the GWACs, I think, directly addresses that. Can you talk a little bit about how, I think that's a great value added.
I think so too. And I hope that more agencies understand that as we go through life. I think more of them do, as one of the things that, that we've changed at Soup is we're trying to be a little bit more of a leader in that arena and be out there so that people can understand what value we add so they don't have to go do their own. I speak for all the GWACs. I can speak most specifically for Soup, though. You know, we provide anything that I believe anything an agency can do in their own contract, they can do through our contract when they're buying IT. You know, we can give them tracking. In fact, we can probably do it cheaper and faster and more efficiently. And we do it already because we track everything already for them. We can tell them what they're buying. We can help them set up their own website. We have that for several agencies. It doesn't have to be, you have to use NASA Soup as NASA Soup. You can use NASA Soup as your agency's contract. And those agencies that realize that have I think, prospered in that.
Right. Well, you provide that platform or almost like a market where government and industry can do business, and you manage that and provide that streamlined process. I think it saves industry bid and proposal costs, which don't get passed on to government through overhead rates and that sort of thing, and administrative costs. But you also save the government money from that task order, the time to award, you know, reduce cost in terms of their transactional cost. I mean, it's a great service. But right now, I have to address some costs, so we do have to take a break. But when you come back, we'll be talking more to Joanne Wojtek. Joanne is the NASA Soup Program Manager, and we'll talk a little bit. We'll finish up on NASA Soup 4 and start talking about their new procurement and the business case and where we go from here. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
This is an important time for the federal government, a chance for agencies to do things differently. How will you help shape your future? Turn to Deloitte. With our private sector insight and public sector experience, we'll help you rethink, reduce, and restructure, and turn resolve into results, so you can see what's possible and make it happen. See how at Deloitte.com/federal. Wherever you need to go, Deloitte sees you there.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Joanne Wojtek. Joanne is the NASA Soup Program Manager. And Joanne, when we took the break, we were talking about NASA Soup 4 and what's going on with that, a little bit about contract duplication. And along those lines, I understand that you have about 11,000 procurement and technical government personnel who touch the contract. What does that mean?
Well, in any fiscal year, we have about 11,000 customers. And what's interesting with Soup is that not only are we available for every agency to use us, but there's every government agency does have a customer using us, at least one. And that includes all the small little groups like OPIC and the Federal Housing Group. They use us a lot. So it's not just the big agencies, but all the small agencies, which is actually what the GWACs were initially set up for, was to support the small agencies who didn't have their own acquisition.
Right, that's good. Leveraging acquisition personnel, better time management for them. They don't have to go out and do their own open market procurements.
Right. And they don't have the ability to do so because they don't have the time and the people. So it's actually gratifying to have that. We actually have about 25,000 customers in our database as customers, but I think it's about 11,000 active.
Wow, and that translates into about 25,000 orders on an annual basis.
Correct. Right. So this is one difference between us and the two other big GWACs, because they're more support services oriented. So they're going to have smaller number of orders, but they're going to be really large. Mm-hmm. We're dealing with products, so your average order size is for us is about $100,000. So, and we're not talking about any single large order. We're just talking about a lot of orders that are out there, and some of them can be as small as a dollar, some of them can be as big as tens of millions of dollars.
Right. And with regard to small business, that's a key component of your program. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we're very proud of our support for small businesses. The SDVOSB, I set aside, I mentioned earlier, we were actually the first government contract to do that, or even I think any contract to have a set aside of that nature. That was 7 years ago. They're doing 13% of their business, of the soup business is SDVOSB, which is a little better than 3% goal. So we're proud of that. And our small business usage is about 50%. So we've always want to support them. And I think we see large businesses, large manufacturers wanting to work with them also. And so there's a lot of good synergy there.
Right. And you have resellers who are providing, small business resellers.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have that foundation, and that's NASA, that was NASA Soup four. So you've done three others.
Yes.
You've gotten your executive agent designations from OMB. And right now, you mentioned in the previous segment that you'd submitted the business case.
Right.
So what is that process for NASA Soup 5?
Right, for Soup 5, well, in order to get the authorization to be a GWAC for Soup 5, we have to go to OMB and present the business case. We've actually had previously already sent in the business case to them as a draft form. So it's already been through the one process, which is it gets posted in on a website for comments to be made by any agency. And this is a new thing that OMB is doing to try to prevent duplication, to let people understand what else is out there. And then we have to present this business case through the NASA headquarters folks asking for that authorization. And now it's just a case of them reviewing and hopefully saying yes.
Yeah. And just generally, I don't want to get into details about what comments agencies may or may not have, but just overall, you take that business case that's a draft, and then based on comments and feedback from all the stakeholders, you present the final to OMB.
Correct.
And that's where you are right now.
Right. Yes.
Was a response, just curious, the response pretty positive from your customers who responded to the draft?
Right. Well, there was only one real response, and it was one of our...
Well, that's good. You know, silence is a good thing, right?
Yes, yes. It was an opportunity to better explain how we operate, and I think there was some question of how of our fees, for example, and the fact that we have such a low fee. Why is that? Well, it's not because NASA gives us any money. It's just how efficient we are. We actually aren't allowed to take money from NASA.
You have to be self-sustaining.
We're
right?
totally self, and we are fully self-sustaining. I had that GAO report that showed that we have carved ourselves out better than anybody else in terms of anything that comes in. It's only for our contract, not for any other contracts or any other NASA business.
And the key thing about the fee, the lower the fee, the more money the customer gets to keep, right?
Exactly.
To actually execute their mission,
right?
Which is a great service. So so now we've got the business case. That's an OMB. Can you talk a little bit? I know about the process. I know you have had a draft RFP out there. I believe the comment period closed May 3rd. Is that right? Or did you extend it?
We extended the comment period for two more weeks. We had hit 560 questions, had not had a chance to get through them all. I felt it was important for us to answer as many as we can before we close off the comment period. So if we're finishing up we have at least two major sets, probably three still to go to where we post them out again.
Mm-hmm.
But it's we had 1,500 or so interested
parties
sign in and register on our site. We use a very we have an interactive comment site that lets them see all the comments that have already been made in every section. So they go to a section, they see the comments, they see our responses, and they can say, oh, it's already been responded to, or they need more clarification. Mm-hmm. So that helps us make sure that we're making the final RFP workable for both industry and government.
Right. And so it's now May 17th. Is that the date?
Right.
It's 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you talk a little bit? That is a sort of labor intensive, it's not an easy task to review all those comments and questions and respond to them. So like how have you guys organized and done that? I think it's interesting for folks to pick. It's a lot of work.
Well, actually it's not. And the reason the reason it's not is because we do a lot of work ahead of time. We really understand the contracts. There's 600 questions. If you'll find that the answers are all very similar because we know what to look for. So if something makes sense, it's an immediate, oh yeah, we're going to change this. If we need to explain it, it's usually along the same lines of explanation. The biggest question that comes up that we really have to have industry understand is that Soup is not about just these mandatory items. They're just a few items. It's about the depth and breadth and having everything available on every single contract. And so if all you can provide is one item, that's not what Soup is about. Soup is about the full breadth and depth of IT products and services and product services.
Okay. Well, let me correct myself then. It's a lot of work to get it to the point where you don't have to worry. That the questions are manageable. Okay.
Yes,
how's that?
Yes.
It's a lot of work
before. Yeah. but this is part of how, but it also goes to how Soup is efficient and our speed. It's we try to build our processes so that for anybody else, it would seem to be, well, that must take a lot of work. Well, yeah, it did because we had to set it up to be that way. But then once it's flowing, We stay within what we're good at. We know what we know. We don't try to stray out of that. We don't try to go into things we don't do, and we just follow that pattern that keeps us going pretty smoothly. Now, there are some questions that do take a little bit more work and time, but for the most part, sure. It's pretty basic.
Good. So let's talk a little bit of can you talk a little bit about the key features of the contract? It's an IDIQ,
right?
And we're talking products and associated services,
right?
Again, continue.
Right. So it's IT and actually IT and AV and communication systems. So it's a pretty broad base there. Any product that falls under any of those arenas, IT, AV, communications, pretty much falls within the scope of Soup.
Does it include phones?
It includes cell phones. And actually, phones was in last time that we've added service for phones, which we realized didn't help to have a phone on a contract if you can't buy the service plan. So that was one of the additions. Whenever we go from one to another, we try to see what were things we said no to that didn't make sense and add those in. But then the product-based services are things like installation, training, warranty, and maintenance. And then we added in Soup 5 product-based engineering services. So having like a network engineer who works on Cisco or Juniper work on
that makes
things.
Sense. And you saw a need for that based on your customer feedback.
Yes, those were one of the most painful no's we had to tell people in Soup 4 was no, we can't do that. And so we said they really wanted it, and so we added that.
I understand there's going to be groups again in this one, right. There's going to be groups. Can you talk about how those are structured?
So there are two parts to the groups and how they're structured. There's the bidding part, and then there's the post-award part. But we use the groups for...
Joanne, you know what? We do. We're up hard against the break already. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the groups and continue talking about the NASA Soup 5 structure and, moving forward.
Okay.
So my guest today is Joanne Wojtek. Joanne is the NASA Soup Program Manager, and you're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
In the ever-changing national security and IT environments, L3 delivers innovative, cost-effective solutions. As a Fortune 200 company, L3 offers customers global end-to-end services and solutions for large-scale systems. No matter the challenge, L3 has the agility, technology, and innovation required for mission performance. From cybersecurity to next-generation IT, L3's passion for its customers' missions drives its commitment to excellence. L3. Agility, innovation, performance.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Joanne Wojtek. Joanne is the NASA Soup Program Manager. And Joanne, when we took the last break, you were about to talk a little bit about the contract structure in terms of the various groups and how those you anticipate those working.
So during the RFP and proposal process, we have four basic groups, and the purpose is to ensure that we have companies that have strengths in different areas. However, the scope of all the groups is the same in the end, and that is, as we discussed in the previous section, about IT and AV and communications and services related to them. That scope is true across the board. But for Group A, for example, we try to emphasize that these are either manufacturers or companies that work closely with manufacturers of IT servers. Group B is a set-aside group, and it's actually set aside to two different groups. It's set aside for HubZone and it's set aside for SDVOSBs. And in that group, we're looking at having some strengths in the storage area. And then in Group C, it's small business, and we're looking at strengths in things like printers and similar devices. And then Group D is kind of the catch-all. It's a full and open competition, includes a lot of different types of technology. So that's how it's set up initially. And then afterwards, again, the scope is still, the breadth and depth is the same for all those four groups.
Sure. And what's the anticipated contract period?
We have a 10-year contract period. We went ahead with that. It takes a lot of time and effort to put these together on both industries and government's end. And we felt that 7 years was nice. 10 years will be better, I think, for both ends to kind of get the fullest extent of usage of that.
Right. And that makes sense because, but some of the other GWACs and contract program, major ones, are usually about 10 years.
So, yes.
and it is smart because it will save you you know, you don't have to do that earlier. I mean,
right. It takes about two years or more to put an RFP of this nature together.
Right. And how does the, and it's probably going to be similar, you know, from NASA Soup 4 to 5. I'm just curious, the technology refreshment, given that 10-year period, how do you guys work that? Is that the rapid modifications? You try to get it done in a day, that sort of thing.
Well, so Soup operates it refreshes every day based on the requirements of our customers, and in fact one of the contract clauses states that we will always have the ability to require access to the latest technology through these contracts. So it's a contractual requirement, and of course, customers want it anyway, so it's just going to make sure that happens.
Right, and the contractors want to sell that, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So in terms of the dollar ceiling, how is that going to work on NASA Soup 5?
So we have we do it at the contract level, so each contract has a $20 billion limit. That does not mean we expect any of those contracts to hit a $20 billion amount.
Right. And you said you're going to be, again, this month, I guess, $12 billion overall. How has it, from its origination to where you are now, how has the program grown in terms of, you know, the dollar volume running through it?
We essentially doubled from the start of Soup 4. Several years of like a 30% growth for like 3 years in a row, and then it's leveled off. I think it was a case, you know, we're kind of hitting, it's actually interesting that we're still staying at that level, because we're nearing the end where I was worried that we'd be losing customers. But
stopgap sort of things or whatever. Right.
You know, you're ending a contract, you don't want to put stuff on it. So, but we are seeing pretty much the same level. So it has to do with how many, we doubled the number of contract holders, that will double your usage also. So, that we take that into consideration for Soup 5, that we're likely to have more contract holders. We don't know. But that's just been the trend that we've always had. So if we do, we'll probably increase our customer base also.
Right. And the award methodology, is it best value? How do you?
The awards for the actual contracts is based on price and technical and past performance being essentially a pass fail. Mm-hmm. And this time, the one difference is that we've made price and technical equivalent.
Okay.
So it's very important to have the technical piece correct.
Right. So can you give the listeners like where they can find more information about NASA Soup 5 and, you know, the draft documents and just information about it? Do you want to give that website?
Yeah. So the easiest, I'm actually gonna get this short version because the longer version has an S in it, all that stuff. The short version is go to the Soup website, www.sewp.nasa.gov, and on the left side there's a link to Soup 5, and that's the best way to get there. From there you can get to the draft, you can get to all the questions and answers, both that we have done through the draft RFP, but we also had an industry day and had several hundred questions that we posted from that event also.
And now I want to turn to a couple other issues about NASA Soup that I know you've highlighted in the past, and one of them is just the data collection and what's going on with that, with this contract, and sort of what's the impetus behind it, and what do you hope to achieve, and what you envision the requirements to be.
So that's
about three different questions in one sentence. I apologize for that, but it just popped in my head. I got to get it out there. So,
well, it is kind of a catch-all that I'm using. There are several initiatives I'm pushing in. Two of them that sort of, well, one of them kind of flows into another that flows into the others, which is we're going to collect data even more so than we've had in the past. We used to have the view that we're decentralized for ordering, and while we kept certain centralized information, we did not track the actual purchasing being done. A lot of agencies have come to us and said, can you tell us how much of this we bought? And it's like, well, no, we couldn't. And so we decided in Soup 5 to change that, and we will track at the line item level. So if an agency needs that information, again, another reason why they don't have to go to their own site, to their own contracts to do it, we'll collect that for them. They can come to us and we can give them the full breadth of what they're buying through these contracts.
And that's for purposes of trying to help them better manage their buys and consolidate or things like that.
Yes. Yeah. That's often what they want is consolidation. And we'll talk maybe a little later about strategic sourcing. Obviously, that fits in with that too. If you know what you're buying, you can better decide how to consolidate that for future buys. So we're trying to help with that information.
Right. And another area that I know you're looking at, and I don't, you know, we're getting close to the end of this segment, but it is, you know, supply chain risk management. Can you talk a little bit about what you're doing there? We can start that conversation and continue it after the break.
So, I'm involved in a number of ways. I'm part of the Open Group, Open Trusted Technology Forum, who just released a standard, one of the first standards out there that it addresses supply chain risk management at the industry level to help reduce the risk of counterfeit and tainting of products. So that was just released this past just a couple weeks ago. Soup with DOD are the two government folks involved. A lot of huge industry companies involved in that process. It helped me learn a lot about this whole issue. I've been involved, been attending some of the NIST and other information meetings about supply chain management. And in doing all that, I formulated what I felt was the one way that a contract of Soup's type can help in that arena. And what we're trying to do is provide information to our customers to have them be able to do that risk assessment, because it all comes down to a risk assessment. What can you do to reduce your risk, and what information can you give them in terms of essentially the provenance of the product, so they know whether or not this is a risky buy, but it saves money, or is it, you know, less risky buy, but it costs more?
Sure. Well, yeah, Joanne, right there, it's perfect. We can take a break. When you come back, we'll be talking more to Joanne Wytek. Joanne is the NASA Soup Program Manager. We'll talk a little bit, continue our discussion of NASA Soup 5 and the anticipated requirements there, and a little bit about strategic sourcing. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
These days, it seems everyone's talking about the new normal, but federal agencies have a chance to define it. How will you shape your future? Turn to Deloitte. We understand what makes America work and how it can work better. With our private sector insight and public sector experience, we can help you rethink, reduce, and restructure, or even change the game. See how at Deloitte.com/federal. Wherever you need to go, Deloitte sees you there.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Joanne Wytek. Joanne is a NASA Soup Program Manager. And Joanne, when we took the break, you were about to talk a little bit about the supply chain risk management and how you see it being coordinated within the NASA Soup program and contracts.
Right. So in the RFP itself, we've done two things, well, a couple of things, but two main things. One is we've added a pseudo DFAR clause. We're NASA, so we don't have DFAR clauses in our contracts, but the DOD is certainly being pushed in terms of supply chain management. So we've taken, working with their acquisition policy group, we've taken what they need to have in contracts and we've adapted it. So there's actually a clause that if you read it closely, you'll say, oh, this looks like DOD.
Okay.
It kind of addresses the whole point of you should take a risk-based view of supply chain management, which fit with what we wanted. And then we've added the requirement that as items are being added, we need to know exactly how they're coming from the manufacturer to us. So we can tell, and then we will tell our customer, well, you're buying these products, they're all from authorized resellers, or they're direct from the manufacturer, good to go. They're coming off the back of a bus, of a truck. Maybe you want to think about it before you buy it, if you're going to put it into a critical system. So we're not going to tell a customer what to do, but we're going to give them the information so they can then say, oh, okay, again, saving money, but you know, risky, a little bit more money, but no risk. And then they can make that decision.
Right. So, yeah, that's, you know, and that's, to me, that sounds like a prudent way to go, and because you're balancing providing that competition and choice, and people make good acquisition/business decisions based on looking at all the factors involved there at the order level, right?
Right. And also something I say that's provocative a little bit is people say, well, do you get rid of gray market? And I say, well, gray market is not necessarily bad. Because it's such a broad term, and it's just important to know that you're buying in the gray market and then know what it means for you. If you're buying a wire, a power cable, it may not mean anything, you know, but if you're buying a network router that's going to be critical,
there's some risk there, right? Yeah, absolutely. So I also wanted to get your thoughts today a little bit about strategic sourcing and, you know, how NASA Soup fits within, you know, there's a lot of talk these days about strategic sourcing. And part of that, we talked earlier about data and data collection to help people make, you know, better buying decisions and or intelligent decisions about where to, you know, how to structure their task order competitions or whatever.
Right.
So can you talk about what you're doing with NASA Soup and where you hope it goes?
Also, there's two initiatives. There's a very broad initiative by OMB, which we are a part of, and it's being led by the three GWAC agencies, but my deputy is actually leading the effort as terms of coordinating it. And that's to look at desktops and laptops and determine if there's a way to come up with a strategic desktop laptop purchasing. So we're actually still in discussion on how that's going to work. So I can't say how it's going to work yet,
right.
or if it's going to work, but we are trying to pull together some basic information, some data working, and we're going to bring industry in over the next month or two to discuss it from their point of view. And then from Soup's point of view, you know, even beyond that, you know, we want to both support agencies that are looking at it again through our data collection, and then also support it by maybe doing some test cases and pilot cases. We've always kind of taken the view, buy what you want from Soup, and whatever you want, you can get. But maybe there's a case for, well, here's buy what you want, but here, if you buy this one instead, this is strategically sourced, you're going to save some money. So it may not be exactly what you want, but if we have some basic items that a customer can save money from because it's being bought in bulk, then we're going to try that out too.
Right. So, and with NASA Soup, and you're looking to integrate the locating, the ordering, tracking, reporting, all that data will go into trying to figure out if there's a way to strategically acquire the laptops. So, and that is that, you know, data that you're collecting from the contractors, or is it just part of that, you know, your automated system for ordering that you're just going to pull that data?
It's partly from the vendors. If the customer uses our quoting system, it's actually already being collected in this, and we just have to connect it up with the order. So we actually have reports now that we get from our contract holders, but we don't do much with them. Mm-hmm. We're going to require that in a more authoritative way, that it has to be a correct report and it will have to be at the time of the order. So it's an automated report. It comes into our system. It gets put into the database. We don't have to type things in. So it should flow right from the ordering process of the contract holder back to us.
Right. And another thing I wanted to ask you about is, you know, from a strategic sourcing perspective, there's a lot of focus on that price point. And I like to think that's like the iceberg, right? The price is what you see, but there's a lot that goes into, you know, total acquisition costs, and you know, I'd like to get your thoughts on that and what the role that NASA Soup plays.
Okay, so I'm not getting in trouble with this, but I don't consider the price to be as important for strategic sourcing if for IT because of the way IT is done. I see strategic sourcing helping actually in the other ways you mentioned, which is if you have a set items that you know what you're buying, that cuts down on how quick, you know, on decision making, that cuts down on time and resources of the government end. At the industry end, it should lower their costs, which should feed back to lower costs to us then, because they'll know, oh, I can get this to you. This is what you want. And then delivery time should be faster because you shouldn't have to wait for custom building. It should be already in the system and easy to get through delivery. Everything is custom built now, and that just takes time. If you can cut down that time, that saves resources.
Sure,
also.
Sure.
So to me, those are more important than the likely. There might be savings, but I think the more important is the resources it will save.
Right, and yeah, that's a great point, because I mean we can't lose. I think as a community, we can't lose sight of that there's many factors that go into how you more effectively, you know, meet mission.
Right.
It's not just the price point. That is an important factor. No, everybody acknowledges that. I acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. But there's many other things that go into. You know, actually, ultimately, more effective mission performance. You know, and actually, greater efficiencies in the long term through investments. You know, one of the things that I wanted to ask you about is whether or not you have had customers come to you to sort of say, you know, can you help us figure out how to buy these things better? I know you're providing them the data. Have folks ever turned to you and said, hey, look, you know, can you help us figure out how to do this better through your contracts?
Yes, and hopefully they do come to us. We've actually had customers do it without coming to us. It's like, oh, I was surprised. We've had several agencies just suddenly like pop up and do a more strategic, you know, buying through our contracts. Like, wow, we could have helped you. You know, so mm-hmm. certainly if any agency is listening and they want that, use us, but also come talk to us, because I think we can give you even more than you could realize. NASA, Commerce, we have some Air Force requirements out there that they're looking at focusing on using us, a lot having to do with the fact that while we decentralize for purchasing, we centralize the information and the ordering so that we know what's going on with our system, so we can feed that back to them. And we can provide them, again, websites and information to their customers. We do a lot of outreach. That's very important to us. When we outreach to the customers, we can say, well, here's what your agency is doing, and help them.
Absolutely. Okay, so we're coming up. We got about a minute left. I want to give you a chance. So can you talk quickly about the timeline for NASA SOUP 5?
So we're working now on finalizing the RFP. The final RFP is due to be out late June, with proposals due either 45 or 60 days later. That's still on the fence system when that will be. So sometime in the August timeframe, the proposals will be due. The goal will be to award by April 30th of next year.
Okay, so about a year from now, you'll have, hopefully, knock on wood, you have NASA SOUP up and NASA SOUP 5 up and running, right? Or ready to run, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. And I'll get, also, can you, do you want to give the website one more time where people can find information about it?
www.sewp.nasa.gov, and then click on the SOUP 5 link on the left side.
Great. So, hey, Joanne, great show. Thank you so much. Great information. I appreciate it. I want to thank my guest, Joanne Wojtek. She is the NASA SOUP Program Manager, and you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, Tuesday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.